Stay tuned for the Sean Casey Show, a podcast for Patriots. And welcome back to the Sean Casey Show, a podcast for Patriots. I am Sean Casey, and this is, of course, the Resistance. This is the place where we gather. We meet each and every episode, full episodes today and Thursday, and, of course, the Casey commentary on Saturday. Sorry we missed the commentary this past Saturday. We were busy with family and could not get a chance to sneak away and put one in the can, as they say. So we apologize for that. We'll see if we can make one up here for you at some point during this week. But thanks again. Hope you had a great weekend. It's a Tuesday, April the 16th. Hope you got your taxes in on time so that you could pay this Leviathan government more than you should. Or hopefully you didn't let them hold your money for a whole year. Joining us in this episode, as she does each and every full episode, our executive producer, Michelle Double Extracella. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, Sean. Yeah, so we can give it all to Ukraine.
Yeah, well, gee, that's a really cynical of you to think we would have to do all that. Give it to Ukraine. Well, you know, it's an apt point because, you know, that's what this Iran staged attack was all about, getting money to Israel. And getting money to an Iran trying to save face, and now they're going to do that in Ukraine as well. So we'll get to all of that. We got a really busy show for you here today. We're going to be talking about this is the deep state strikes back. Remember, I told you the deep state's not going to go quietly into the night. They know Donald Trump is going to get reelected. They're going to do everything they can to stop him from getting reelected, and so far that's not going in their direction. So they're throwing all sorts of roadblocks, and it's with Speaker Johnson, it's with FISA, it's with Iran and Israel, it's with Ukraine. We have the unrest at home, the pro-Hamas protesters, and of course the big Trump trial started this week with Stormy Daniels and the hush money in New York City. We've got news there as well. We start today with our founding fathers, and one of the most brilliant is James Madison. He, of course, one of our founding fathers, signer of the Declaration, author of the Federalist Papers, just one of three there. But he is also the author, the father of the Bill of Rights. And one of those amendments in the first 10 is the Fourth Amendment. And the Fourth Amendment, you'll recall, he introduced a version that said the rights to be secured in their persons, their houses, their papers, and their other property from all unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated by warrants issued without probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, or not particularly describing the places to be searched or the persons or things to be seized. And that, of course, is very close to what passed as the Fourth Amendment, the Bill of Rights. But I want you to focus on just a couple of things there. Unreasonable searches and seizures. You had to have probable cause, and that had to be done by oath or affirmation, and it had to be pretty narrow. They had to name what they were looking for, where they were looking for it, or the persons or things that they were going to seize as a result. It couldn't be this broad, just in general, oh, we're going to look down the entire block. Or no, the entire house. No, they had to say, we're looking for such and such a paper in such a room where we believe this document is being kept, whatever the case may be. Remember last episode we covered writs of assistance, right, or last week, and that's what led us to the Fourth Amendment. And now we're seeing, unfortunately, they have reauthorized the warrantless spying on Americans once again. And we'll get to the vote here in just a second, but leading up to that, And kudos to Congresswoman Anna Paulina Luna. She is an Air Force veteran. She is a patriot. And, of course, she'll be nominated for a Patriot of the Week for her. She sent a letter to all members of Congress reminding them, hey, we took an oath. It's our job to try to. No, you took an oath. You swore to uphold, to protect, to defend the Constitution of the United States. And one of my favorite members of Congress is Harriet Hageman of Wyoming. She's the one that absolutely trounced the traitor Liz Cheney in Wyoming. And she got up on the floor the other day and talked about the importance of the Fourth Amendment and why we needed warrants for FISA searches.
The security state's abuse of their foreign intelligence authorities to unlawfully surveil American citizens and search their records has been exposed for all to see. In 2021, the FBI conducted over 3 million FISA searches of Americans, and in 2022, the FBI was still conducting hundreds of such warrantless queries per day. In the 2020 and early 2021 time period, the FBI conducted over 278,000 searches of the 702 FISA database that violated the Justice Department's own rules and often lacked national security connections. The FBI is querying Americans of all political and religious affiliations. The FBI is even using Section 702 to target elected and appointed government officials. The FBI's abuses are well known. Using the 702 database to search for information on those individuals that it perceives to be political enemies of liberal orthodoxy, seeking to infiltrate the Catholic Church, spying on parents at school board meetings, and working with big tech to censor Americans it disagrees with. This is Stasi-level abuse, and it must be stopped. So my question for this body is, if catching the government violating the Constitution and our civil liberties is not the time for significant reform, then when is?
And that is the $64,000 question. They have been caught red-handed. Pardon the pun. She says Stasi, you can call it Red Guard, you can call it Gestapo, whatever you want to call it. It's authoritarian, jackbooted thugs that have spied on candidates, that spied on American presidents, their cabinets, American people, reporters, you know. And here's some questions that you really need to ask yourself. As I said in previous episodes, every time you pick up an electronic device, you send an email, you send a text, or you're searching online, any keystroke that you enter in is being recorded and sent somewhere. Think about that. Think about the hundreds of millions of Americans. Multiply that by your cell phone, your laptop, your iPad, whatever it is, all of it gets sent and stored. All of it.
Stored, and then whoever wants to look something up that is privy to it can just type in probably a word in the search.
Yeah, well, there were, I think, 10,000 occasions where federal agencies, you heard her, 3,278,000 FBI queries, just not the FBI, any federal agency.
That's right.
So this is, it's unconstitutional, and then somebody's got to file a lawsuit to stop this thing in its tracks. Now, I'm all for following the terrorists because the FISA Act, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, and the FISA court and the FISA judges are supposed to be going after foreign assets, foreign threats. And perchance, if there is an email, and we'll hear from Speaker Johnson here in just a second, we'll talk about that scenario. But there should be a 24/7 judge or court where any CIA analyst, FBI, whoever, NSA, and that's where most of the stuff is collected and kept in NSA server farms somewhere in the good old US of A, where they can go and wake up a judge or get a judge on the phone and just say, hey, I need to follow this. And it involves an American citizen. Here is why I think I need to do that. And then, you know, again, no, a lot of the times they rubber stamp the warrants anyway, and it's a 90% approval rate, but still they're going through the constitutional protections of getting a warrant. Right now, there is no requirement that they do so. And that's why in this clip, Harriet Hageman, Congresswoman Hageman, talks about the Biggs Amendment, which would have required a warrant in the reauthorization of Section 702 of the FISA Act.
The proposed changes to FISA are a good first step, but they don't go far enough. There are three additional amendments to assure accountability. One includes a warrant requirement to query the 702 database for Americans. There is no national security exception to the Fourth Amendment, and we must ensure that these agencies adhere to the Bill of Rights. This warrant amendment would not prevent the government from using all of the available national security tools. It simply requires the government to get a warrant. Now, there are some who would argue that requiring the intelligence agencies to obtain a warrant before spying on American citizens would be too burdensome and unreasonably delay their efforts to keep the homeland safe. My first response is to note that if these agencies sincerely cared about national security, they would be doing everything in their power to convince President Biden and Mayorkas to close the border, but that has not been their priority, and their silence is deafening.
Yeah, and so, look, she's right. There's no national security exemption. For the Constitution. The Constitution is never suspended, even in times of war. You might, if you're a history buff, might recall in 1862, President Lincoln issued a presidential proclamation number 94, which suspended the writ of habeas corpus. And that writ is a tool which prevents the government from unlawfully imprisoning individuals outside of the judicial process. Well, he suspended that. And that he got a lot of pushback, as he should. Because no president, executive branch, cannot suspend the Constitution. And Lincoln was, you know, at wit's end. We were torn apart. We were at civil war. We were killing each other. And he thought that's what he had to do. Now, he was wrong, just like FDR was wrong to inter Japanese Americans. That was overturned later. So, again, both men were wrong. Both men violated the Constitution. And so we do know that men being men have flaws. They're vulnerable. But the Constitution must stand as the enduring document, the rule of law in the nation. And just last night, 259 members of Congress crapped on it, used it as toilet paper. I hate to say that. I know that's kind of crude, but it is the truth. And how do we know this? Well, because people that have come from totalitarian regimes, like the former Soviet Union, Congresswoman Victoria Spartz of Indiana, she was beside herself over the violation of a Fourth Amendment.
Our job is to protect rights of Americans. And there is nothing wrong. It's actually our job to err always on the side of the constitutional amendments. And I think, you know, there is actually, it's something that Fourth Amendment, it's something that's very important issue. And I think this is a very, really crucial vote.
And she's right. Fourth Amendment. It's not just your job to protect the rights of citizens. It's your job to uphold, defend, and protect the Constitution of the United States. 259 last night, 142 Democrats and 117 Republicans failed to do that. They violated the Constitution. And why? Well, Speaker Johnson, who says that Trump's with him 100% of the time, sorry, Trump said kill FISA. And Johnson did not do it. In fact, Johnson cast the tie-breaking vote last Thursday to get it, to defeat the Biggs Amendment. It was tied 2-12, and he voted with the Democrats.
I know, so disappointing.
It's beyond
like that.
It's beyond disappointing. And here's his reason why. Let's listen to his reason why he decided to do that.
President and I agree on the necessity of the uses of FISA. Remember, that's how we kill terrorists. That's how we stop terrorist plots on U.S. soil. That's why we haven't had another 9/11 since that terrible tragedy. President Trump used it, and he reauthorized it in 2018 for 6 years, and that's why it's up again. What we did was we changed the bill to fit his requirements and ours, and that is that it would expire now, 2 years from now, in the middle of his next administration, so he's the one that gets to determine if it's working well. It's a critical tool to stop terrorism. The whole point of the law is that we surveil foreign persons, foreign terrorists, but the reason the warrant requirement is not helpful, and the reason that people that we love and respect, like Mike Pompeo and John Ratcliffe and Robert O'Brien and Devin Nunes, who've been in the intelligence community, and our guys, our conservatives, who came off Judiciary Committee, a couple of them, they said you can't put the warrant on this. Here's what happens. Quick scenarios. This is important for people to understand, Maria. If we're surveilling a terrorist in the Middle East, and the terrorist sends an email to a guy named John Smith in Anytown, USA, and the email says, the components will be delivered to your house this afternoon for further assembly and delivery to the high school stadium during the game, okay? I think every American would want the analyst who saw that email from that foreign terrorist to do a query of the other communications between those two persons. That is not unlawful, and that must continue.
Two things. Okay, so the scenario is imminent threat, right? I think we all agree on that. So there's an imminent threat that someone's trying to assemble a bomb, and they're going to take it to a high school, athletic event, whatever, and set it off and perhaps kill thousands. Well, no American wants that. No American wants that.
No.
But the way you do that is whoever intercepts this intelligence immediately gathers together, puts a probable cause, and fires a judge on the horn, on the phone, FaceTime. We have these things called phones now. You can do FaceTime, and right. And you've got all sorts of different Skype, you know, is another way. Zoom, I mean, that became very popular during COVID. Don't think that the federal government doesn't have these tools. They do. And you get a judge on the damn line or on the screen. You say, look, imminent threat, we need a warrant. Okay? And the judge is going to grant that warrant. He's not going to be the one that says, oh, no, I don't think it's so legit or valid. And that warrant's going to go, and you'll be able to track that American citizen on U.S. soil. That's how it's supposed to be done. Two, they're trying to get us to accept this concept of an imminent threat. I think Marjorie Taylor Greene blows that argument right out of the water.
If the government really cared about protecting Americans, then they would shut the border down and mass deport terrorists out of our country. And criminal illegal aliens. But they're not doing that. No, they're telling us we've got to reauthorize FISA so the government can continue to spy on Americans.
Yeah, never mind that threat from our southern border, from terrorists and fentanyl and 20,000 Chinese military age mail. Don't look there. We'll tell you where the threat's coming from. Sorry, don't trust you. And I think you've already shown why. You've abused this power under the Patriot Act, which the whole thing should be squashed and take to the Department of Homeland Security with it. I understand there was a clarion call after 9/11, but sometimes you do things and you overreach, and you got to let the dust settle first. And then being calm, cool, and collected, then you can discuss legislation. But there was such a rush to pass something so this thing would never happen again. And we're left now with very bad unconstitutional law, in my opinion. Senator Rand Paul, reacting to what Speaker Johnson had said, he was asked by Maria Bartiromo over the weekend, again, if he thinks that Americans' rights are being violated under the Fourth Amendment.
Absolutely not. Americans shouldn't be spied on by their own government. The Fourth Amendment was put in by our founding fathers to protect us. FISA doesn't obey the Fourth Amendment. And so Speaker Johnson was incredibly wrong. He broke the tie. He voted with the Democrats. Here we have the leader of the Republicans in the House votes with the Democrats against a warrant requirement. We also have Speaker Johnson voting for the spending package, once again, with a majority of the Democrats. As I see it now, I'm not sure there's a difference between Mike Johnson being in charge and the Democrats being in charge. The debt, the deficit this year will be $1.5 to $2 trillion, and that's Mike Johnson's bill. He put it forward. He supported it with a minority of Republicans, with a majority of Democrats. This is not using the power of the purse. This is abdicating the power of the purse.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. They're just abdicating their constitutional oath and duty and the power of the purse, and that's why so many people are upset with Speaker Johnson. We'll get to his dilemma in a moment. But executive director of the Foundation for Freedom, he's a former State Department cyber expert, author of The Unpublishable Monstrosity, Weapons of Mass Deletion, Mike Benz, talks about just how crooked the FBI, the DOJ, and how easy it is to spy on Americans.
Any crooked FBI agent can make the argument that if you do not support another $60 billion this year, $100 billion later this year, $1 trillion over the next 5 years to Ukraine, then you are helping Russia. Well, why are you helping Russia? Well, we better find out to decide if you have Russian contacts. So, boom, now they can plant, they can tap your Wi-Fi device. They can listen to your phone while you're on the toilet or while you're, making love to your spouse. This is the most corrupt agency, the most lawless. We will know there's checks and balances when we see them in jail.
Yeah, and that's when we'll know that we are making inroads, when we see people at DOJ, FBI, and any other of these agencies, alphabet agencies, CIA, when we start seeing them go to jail and the J6 political prisoners get out. Because that's when we know our country is starting to reach a balance. And if you don't believe me, then how about the former deputy director of the FBI, Andrew McCabe, who was asked about FISA and was it abused?
He may be referring to the FISA that was used, that was obtained to surveil Carter Page. We now know there were many mistakes in that FISA. Those are all regrettable.
Yeah, I bet they are regrettable. Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, Andy McCabe, and Bill Priestap and many others, Jim Baker, right up the line of succession there, all the way to the director of the FBI again, and that was Jim Comey, who was one of our worst, and Chris Wray, who's not much better. So after all that is said and done, after all that abuse, after all those unconstitutional, lawless, warrantless searches, the swamp, the deep state last night, ignoring Anna Paulina's warning in her letter, 142 Democrats, 117 Republicans voted to reauthorize Section 702 of FISA without warrants.
Just sad. And it, you know, it's going to happen again.
Yeah. No, it's already happening now. It's just, okay. And you know what? Even if they voted against it, they still would have done it because, right. You know, and I would much rather have a law that says you have to have a warrant. That's at least somewhat of a obstacle. Right now, there's none. They can do whatever they want. They can abuse it whenever, wherever they want against anyone, any American. At least if they'd had a warrant in there, there was somewhat a level of protection. But these people are so desperate, you know, to maintain their deep state power that they'll say and do anything. And look, leadership of the Republicans voted for this. People like Tom Emmer and I. Patch McCain, Dan Crenshaw, Mike Gallagher, the guy that wouldn't retire early so we could have a vacant fill the seat. He hung on to April 19th. Why? Because he knew this FISA bill was coming up. That's why he hung on, and he wanted to, you know, affect the margins. And Elise Stefanik voted against, or voted for this monstrosity, I should say. So that, along with Steve Scalise and Mike Turner, remember that big warning he had? Oh, we can't reform FISA. We can't get rid of FISA because there's an attack coming. There's an attack that's going to cripple America. I can't tell you what it is, but it's coming. And he was the guy that cried wolf. And
they better not hope that, you know, or they better hope that it doesn't happen anyway with the FISA.
Yeah,
I feel like FISA is only being used towards conservative candidates named Trump.
Well, not only, you're right, conservative candidates like Trump, but also conservative organizations, school board parents,
right.
Christians, traditional Catholics, white evangelicals, white nationalists, you name it. And to Marjorie Taylor Greene's point, it is going to happen again because the borders are wide open. And we already have had a number of Americans murdered as a result. I'm sure there are sleeper agents here, CCP or otherwise, terrorists. That are just biding their time, just waiting, just like Iran did. And again, let's talk a little bit about this was the advice, because remember, for days we were hearing and breathlessly being reported in the media that Iran is on the verge of attacking Israel. Could happen any day, any hour, any time now. We kept hearing it all day Thursday, and they ratcheted it up on Friday. And then finally the attack did come. But before that, Joe Biden had some advice for the murder mullahs of Iran.
Don't.
How many times have we heard him say,
don't?
Yeah. He said, wow. Again, it's sort of like a green light for anybody when he says,
don't.
They do. They completely ignore him. And so what they did is they launched an attack on Israel of hundreds of drones, cruise missiles, ballistic missiles, etc. And they did that allegedly in retaliation because a Al-Quds general, an Iranian general, was taken out by the Israelis in Damascus, Syria. It wasn't in Iran. They didn't attack Iran. This Iranian general was helping to coordinate the proxies of the Hezbollah and Hamas. And he was doing it inside Syria. And so they said, no, you're not. We're taking you out. So they took him out. It was not an attack on Iran, but was an attack on the general who was basically setting up all the 10-7. You think Hamas and Hezbollah, the Houthis, they did all that by themselves? Of course, they're all Iranian proxies. So Israel took him out, and now Iran had to look. They had to save face among their people and among the Arab world. So they decide, We're going to launch these missiles and drones against Israel. But guess what? They told their friends in Turkey. And Turkey is a member of NATO, which means they had to tell us. because we are NATO. So Turkey basically tells us that Iran is planning to strike Israel with any day now. And, you know, this is how we're going to do it. This is what we're going to send up. So guess what? Joe Biden found out, and Joe Biden told the Iranian murder mullahs that, look, you know, go ahead, but just keep it within certain limits. Wink, wink. And why would he do that? Well, first off, I think he's an idiot. But secondly, he would do that for two reasons. One, so Iran could save face and tell their people, oh, yeah, we launched an attack on Israel and it's a great success. Number two, they're trying to get a Ukraine funding bill. Mm-hmm. And the only way they're going to get one of those is when if it's tied to Israel. And so, you know, who could be against voting to fund Israel after they were just attacked with nearly 300 drones and missiles? So this is the game they play at the CIA and in Washington, and Biden claims to have Israel's back.
We are devoted to the defense of Israel. We will support Israel. We will help defend Israel, and Iran will not succeed.
Yeah.
Sure.
So it's, they didn't succeed because 99% of the missiles were knocked out because we knew they were coming.
But now Biden doesn't want Israel to retaliate.
No, and that's probably the reason why Bibi is not retaliating. I think it kind of all makes sense now. I mean, they will at some point hit him hard.
So here's what I think is kind of scary. So this was the first time that missiles from Iran went to Israel or was trying to go to Israel, correct?
Well, they were launched from Yemen, and the Saudis think they're trying to basically ruin the Abraham Accords and the normalization of relations with Israel. So I agree with the Saudis on that. Iran is absolutely like that. But yeah, no, this was a direct attack from Iran against Israel.
And then, but Iran's trying to get nukes. And right. That's what worries me. I'm like, why are we, you know, looking for that deal, you know, U.S. and Iran for that nuke deal? Is that dead now, I hope?
No, it's not dead. It won't be dead until you take out their nuclear reactors, which I think Israel is eventually going to hit. They did it with Iraq. They took out their nuclear reactor. They're going to have to take out Iran's because, you know, look, as long as Trump's in there, I think they're safe. But you put another Democrat in there, like Jimmy Carter, like Joe Biden, or even Barack Hussein Obama, it's bad news. And all of this, I just think is this is a horrific foreign policy. Where you're saying, go ahead, you know, launch your strike, but make sure it's kept within certain limits. And so what they do is, and they go, okay, we'll do that. And now they get a chance to see our defenses, Israel's defenses, whether it's Iron Dome or David Goliath's, David Sling, which is another protective barrier. I just think when you look at it, this was Joe Biden got played again. Now he's telling Bibi, not to engage in the counteroffensive. Well, Bibi is going to do whatever he wants to protect the people of Israel. And former Green Beret Michael Waltz makes the point, Joe Biden, you would think, would like to come out publicly and make more statements of support for Israel.
I would hope that not only did President Biden say it privately, but I would hope he would walk out to the White House lawn right now or first thing in the morning and let the entire world know, Israel, we have your back.
We have a funny way of showing it, don't we?
Yes.
And of course, Speaker Johnson, then he countered with, we're going to have Israel's back.
The House Republicans and the Republican Party understand the necessity of standing with Israel. We are going to try again this week. And the details of that package are being put together right now. We're looking at the options and all these supplemental issues.
So here's what I'm hearing from the Hill. Last Friday, Johnson met with former President Trump. There is one of the packages is a loan where we would not just give Ukraine the money. We would loan them the money at a very low interest rate with favorable terms. You know, they have, 30, 40, 50 years to pay it back, whatever. But it would no more giving away money. It would be a loan. Which, you know, may or may not be good for the future. But once again, here is Speaker Johnson. He's already gone back on his pledge to release all the J6 tapes. He's not done that. He's already, again, reneged on his single subject bill promise. He has reneged on stopping to fund endless foreign wars, because that's what Ukraine is. It is an endless foreign war. Whether you loan them the money or not, that is not MAGA. It is not America first, period. So we'll see. We'll see what happens, because Chuck Schumer's out there saying we won't vote on a package for Israel without Ukraine attached. And the Republicans are saying, oh, no, they have to be separate. But guess what? They folded already on everything. They've given the Democrats everything they have wanted, and it's not going to change. And you know the reason why it's going to change? I finally figured it out. And I think Speaker Johnson is a decent man. I think he got a bad hand. He's playing with a bad hand right now, and he can't draw any cards right now until November 5th, actually next January. So what he's got really a margin of really no margin for error, you know, with the House. And now we're seeing that Marjorie Taylor Greene has filed a motion to vacate. Thomas Massie now says he will also agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene with a motion to vacate. So the problem is, here's his dilemma. He can try to negotiate the best he can, knowing that the Democrats control the White House and the Senate. And you just hang in there until the fall when reinforcements can come, hopefully. Republicans will increase their margins in the House, retake the Senate, and wouldn't that be hilarious if Larry Hogan was the tiebreaker there in the Senate here in Maryland?
Oh gosh,
he leads both the Democrats by double digits in the latest poll, by the way. Isn't that something?
Yeah, that's interesting.
In any event, so then you'd have White House, Senate, and the House. Or if you don't take the Senate, at least you have the White House and the House if Trump is reelected, which I think he will be. So that's the game he's playing. Just hang in there for 205 more days. If he doesn't, if the chair is vacated and we throw this thing open to election, there is a possibility that Hakeem Jeffries will be the next speaker. And if Hakeem Jeffries is the next speaker, then the Democrats are going to introduce legislation which will define insurrection, yes. And they will craft that legislation so that it fits Donald Trump to a T. And then they'll try to keep him off the ballot or kicked off the ballot being guilty of insurrection. Because that's the plan. That is the plan. So, he's really in an untenable position. But sometimes you got to fight back. You got to fight doubly as hard and let the people know that you're not going to be walked all over. Unlike the police officers in San Francisco, in Seattle, in Chicago, to some extent in New York, but not in Florida. Did you see the Stop the War in Gaza protests yesterday?
Oh, yeah. It's just horrible. I have no words.
Yeah. And here you have, look, it's their right if they want to gather on the sidewalks and public places. And if they want to burn American flags and chant death to America, they can't do it in their home countries. Especially if you're a lesbian, a gay, transgender, they'll throw you off the top of a building. But here in America, we will tolerate that because you have a First Amendment right. What we will not and should not tolerate is the occupation of our bridges and our arteries and thoroughfares to our airports and to infrastructure. I'm shocked that police did not immediately move the pro-Hamas protesters on the Golden Gate Bridge yesterday. They let them sit there for 5 hours.
Okay, I mean, dangerous.
It's dangerous. It's a traffic. It's a public safety issue. It's inconvenient, to say the least, for motorists. What happens if there are emergency vehicles that needed to get through those blockades? What happens if one of those terrorists was carrying a bomb?
Exactly. Yep.
It's unacceptable. It happened at the Golden Gate. Backing up traffic for miles, police showed up in riot gear to finally confront the agitators and cut the chains. They chained themselves to their cars. Well, I'd have just hooked up tow trucks to the car and just tow it with them chained.
Yep.
Let them run with the tow trucks. And then the protesters took over the Brooklyn Bridge, and they blocked highways near Chicago's O'Hare Airport. Did you see the travelers having to carry their luggage for miles? They did it at SeaTac in Seattle. Hezbollah flags are being waved at a terrorist rally in New York City. They were assaulting American flag waving counter protesters and burning the American flag, chanting death to America.
They should all be rounded up and sent to Hezbollah and Gaza to.
Yeah, let them go over there and fight. Let them fight for their cause over there instead of causing a ruckus here. But I do think we have a solution, and we've asked our good buddy Jim Gossett to put it in song for us. Here we go. Get rid of those protesters, Jim.
Protesters filled with hate. They shut down the Golden Gate. Move them on over. Run them all over. Run over protesters blocking all our roads.
Run over and put it in reverse.
If a protester gets in your way, say, go ahead, punk, make my day. Move him on over. Run his ass over. Run him all over if they don't step aside. Though it might leave a dent, make them a hood ornament. Run them all over. If they don't move over, if they block our streets, they'll get what they deserve.
Jim Gossett, two S's, two T's. Check him out at patreon.com. Move him on over like little George Thorogood and the Delaware Destroyers, baby. Nothing like a little rock and roll will get you in the mood. But seriously, these people have no right to obstruct traffic in a thoroughfare or highway, let alone a bridge or an airport. This infrastructure is crucial to public safety, and they should have been immediately removed. They should have details standing by at every bridge, every airport, every tunnel, every train station. I got to tell you, I recently took a Amtrak to New York. From Baltimore.
I've done that.
I saw a security guard at the train station in Baltimore, just one.
Right.
You don't walk through metal detectors. You don't even have to be wanded. Nothing. Any terrorist could walk on any train, and at least as far as my naked eye could see, they would be undetected. I don't know if you experienced the same thing or not, but...
I've experienced the same thing. There was a time, a couple times when I went up to New York on Amtrak, and they did have bomb sniffing dogs around. Okay.
Well, that was probably at a heightened threat.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a heightened threat level, but you know, when I went up and back on, went up on the Amtrak, came back on the Acela, and,
It's pretty free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, there's very little security, mm-hmm. very little. I was kind of shocked, to tell you the truth, compared to what we go through at the airports. You know?
I know. But, shoes off.
Yeah, that is just crazy. Anyway, Florida police, they did it right. They took care of business after the pro-Hamas agitators tried to block a road in Miami. Miami police in riot gear and horseback. They joined with state troopers and armored vehicles. They dragged their sorry butts into the cars.
And that's how you do it.
And that's how it should be done. And again, I'm not blaming police in San Francisco, Chicago, Seattle, or NYPD, who did at least confront them with the bike cops. But it's elected officials. It's the difference in leadership between Miami, which is a Republican mayor, and you have a Florida governor who's a law and order guy, DeSantis, versus Gavin Newsom and what's her name, London Reed.
Yes.
So it is, you can tell, the progressives are... They don't want to enforce laws. They just, I'm shocked that they're still not there, frankly, to tell you the truth. And look, you people in California, you people in New York, in Illinois, if you you want to change it, change it. You can change it. You have the power. You have the power to change it. I mean, remember, your vote is your voice. If you don't vote, then you don't have a choice. And if you don't register to vote, they'll make the choice for you. Think about that.
And also fight to be an election judge or somebody that can be there to watch how the votes are counted.
All right, up to the deep state strikes back, and the intent with the Stormy Daniels hush money Donald Trump trial is threefold. One, make him spend a lot more of his campaign money in legal fees. Two, keep him off the campaign trail for as long as possible. Three, just try to continue to embarrass, try to wear him down, they don't understand the strength of Donald Trump. But outside the courtroom yesterday in New York, where this trial could drag on for like 8 weeks, You're talking 2 months from now. This goes into June. So in June, you're going to be 5 months away from Election Day, and then they'll hit them with another court date, maybe. But here's what Trump said about this being an assault on America yesterday outside the courtroom in Manhattan.
This is an assault on America. Nothing like this has ever happened before. There's never been anything like it. Every legal scholar says this case is nonsense. It should never have been brought. It doesn't deserve anything like this. There is no case. And they've said it. People that don't necessarily follow or like Donald Trump said this is an outrage that this case was brought. This is political persecution. This is a persecution like never before. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. And again, it's a case that should have never been brought. It's an assault on America. And that's why I'm very proud to be here. This is an assault on our country. And it's a country that's failing. It's a country that's run by an incompetent man who's very much involved in this case. This is really an attack on a political opponent. That's all it is. So I'm very honored to be here. Thank you very much.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. It's an assault on America. It's election interference. Let's not forget that Alvin Bragg was seen meeting at the White House with either Joe Biden or his innermost cabinet and staff members. So just like Phony Fawny went to the White House, Alvin Bragg and others. So they're just this is a collusion, if you will. And again, a plot, a scheme to keep Trump off the campaign trail, to bleed his money, and to continue to try to put dents in his armor going into an election 205 days from now. But I think Trump, there's a counter strategy here because this is a criminal trial. This is the first time. This is unprecedented. It's never happened in history before where a former United States president has ever been criminally charged and faced a criminal trial in a courtroom. I think Ulysses S. Grant was caught for speeding once and he had a ticket.
Yeah. Right.
So it was a traffic citation, basically. But this is the only one with it where, and he's lucky he probably didn't get drunk driving then because Ulysses liked his booze, as they say. But in this particular case, he has to be present in the courtroom each and every day. So the two things that he was looking forward to attend, one was the immunity argument before the Supreme Court, but more importantly was a family obligation tomorrow. Being Wednesday, Barron Trump graduates high school.
I was going to say, how sad is it that that stinking commie judge would not let Trump go to his son's graduation?
Well, I think, you know, he's saying, we'll see how it goes, the trial, yeah. Because right now they're still selecting jurors. The first 96 came in, 50 of them were dismissed right on it, you know, because they can't be impartial. 85% of New York votes for Democrats and for Joe Biden. Anyway, Trump addressed the judge not letting him attend his son's graduation.
So thank you very much. We had some amazing things happen today. As you know, my son is graduating from high school, and it looks like the judge will not let me go through the graduation of my son, who's worked very, very hard. He's a great student. Very proud of the fact that he did so well, and was looking forward for years to have graduation with his mother and father there. And it looks like the judge isn't going to allow me to escape this scam. It's a scam trial.
Completely a scam trial. You want to know why it's a scam? Because Stormy Daniels, who he's accused of paying hush money, he's accused of having an extramarital affair with a porn star and then paying her $130,000 to keep quiet. That's not a crime, by the way. They say that he falsified business records, which, by the way, is a misdemeanor if he did. I'm not saying he did, but it's a misdemeanor. People don't normally get charged with this kind of thing. It's a non-disclosure agreement. But Maria Bartiromo this past on Fox Business actually read Stormy Daniels' letter. We read some of it to you the other day.
The fact of the matter is that each party to this alleged affair denied its existence in 2006, 2011, 2016, 2017, and now again in 2018. I'm not denying this affair because I was paid hush money. I'm denying the affair because it never happened, writes Stormy Daniels.
Yeah, never happened. Never got the money. So what we think happened is Michael Cohen, he came up with this scheme. This was his insurance policy to stay employed. with Trump. He would pay the $130,000. Look, I took care of this for you. Who even knows if he even told Trump? But he had this ace in the hole that he could hold this over Trump's head, like for whatever reason. That's the speculation, the theory there. And Jonathan Turley, the professor, who, by the way, is a Democrat at George Washington University in Foggy Bottom near the State Department, he talked about this is what he called a legal absurdity.
Everything about this case is, in my view, legally absurd. You know, this case is basically a state misdemeanor that had run out on the statute of limitations. And Bragg was forced, after he declined for a long time to bring this charge, to do so. His predecessor rejected it.
Not only his predecessor, but the Justice Department looked at this as well. And Turley says he's never seen anything like this.
They took a dead misdemeanor and bootstrapped it into effectively trying a federal crime. But the federal crime here under election law was rejected by the Department of Justice. They didn't feel that this should be charged. So you have this crazy case that's going to go forward, and it's going to turn on the testimony of people like Michael Cohen. And Michael Cohen just recently had a judge call him a serial perjurer.
Wow.
And he's going to appear as the center of this case.
So what's interesting now, the Alvin Bragg is asking the judge in this case, who you aptly referred to as a communist. I think he's an import from a commie country. He was not native born in the United States, Juan Merchan. There's a gag order, and Trump obviously has violated the gag order, as I think he has every right to in his defense. And so they're asking $1,000 fine, and they want him in jail for a night. And Trump, I think, is goading Alvin Bragg, because Trump actually, they want to see, he wants them to try to put him in jail. And Secret Service has got to go with him. Can you imagine?
I can't.
And then if I were Trump tomorrow, I would say, with all due respect to the court, my son's graduation was an existing date before the trial date. You had an opportunity to delay the trial or, put off the trial, postpone it for half a day, whatever. I've got a jet. I can be back here in the afternoon, whatever it is, or be here in the morning and then leave. I would go.
Yeah.
I would go, and I would dare him. Okay, I'm going to my son. Can you imagine, whether you like Trump or dislike Trump, he's putting his son, his family obligations over his own legal jeopardy. And I think that wins him a lot of votes. I think it's automatic reelection. I think Letitia James has overstepped, Alvin Bragg, and certainly Phony Fawny Willis has done the same. And it's really just the numbers are evident. Trump leads in every swing poll, every swing state, except Wisconsin, where he's down by a point, which is margin of error. So that's where we're heading. I think that most of America can identify with a father. Forget that he's president. And forget you may not like his policies or you may not like him and his whatever, his mean tweets, but he is a father and a husband. And he has family obligations like we all do.
And you could hear it in his voice when he was what he was saying right there, how proud he is of Barron and everything. You could hear he was disappointed he might not be able to go.
Yeah. Well, again, look, and Trump, in spite of it all, he still has got tremendous respect for the court. You heard him in the first clip. He goes, thank you. It's an honor. It's an honor to be here. Thank you. So he's not trashing the court. He's not trashing the process. He only goes after those that go after him. Like the prosecutors or some cases, the judge like Engoron, who's an absolute creep, who may not accept the $175 million bond. We'll have to wait and see on that. Okay, time for our cringe moment of the day. And it belongs to, yes, Chairman Joe, who recently on an international trip, he was just getting a little bit tired. At least he told the truth this time.
Nobody likes having international meetings if you don't know what you want. But I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I'm going to go to bed.
Nice work, Joe.
Wow.
Stay there. All right, that's okay. We're okay with that. Go to bed. Stay there. And pull the covers over your head while you're there, okay?
He doesn't even know what he wants.
No. Time for the unhinged moment.
Donald J. Trump is now president of the United States. President
A pro-Hamas activist was arrested at Bakersfield, California City Council meeting Wednesday after threatening to murder the mayor and city council members during a public comment session. Her name, Reedy Patel, 28 years of age, taken into custody at the meeting, was being held on $1 million bond as of Friday afternoon after, of course, she said this.
Hi there. My name is Riddhi Patel. I'm here to speak in support of the city council introducing a ceasefire resolution, specifically the one United Liberation Front has drafted. I don't have faith that you'll do this. You guys are all horrible human beings, and Jesus probably would have killed you himself. And the thing is, though, it's very clear to me as in someone who's been an organizer for the past couple of years that none of you care, because you guys don't care about anything happening in Palestine or any other country where oppression occurs, because you don't care about the oppression occurring here. And I understand that you guys are all horrible people. But the thing is, 2,300 people being evicted in the last year, those are votes. And you guys, those are votes to win here in Bakersfield. And while you guys parade Gandhi around as a Hindu holiday called Chaitra Navratri starts off this week, I remind you that these holidays that we practice, that other people in the global south practice, believe in violent revolution against their oppressors. And I hope one day somebody brings the guillotine and kills all of you motherfuckers.
Okay. She went on to say, you guys want to criminalize us with metal detectors, we'll see you at your house. We'll murder you. And for that, at her arraignment, she was a $1 million bond. And, yeah. And she was sobbing.
She should be on the terror watch list now and no fly list.
Bingo. Make life miserable. Exactly. I don't feel sorry for anybody like that. Look. Nope. You can argue your case without threatening violence. We believe in violent revolution. We're going to bring the guillotine for you MFers. We're going to come to your house. We're going to murder you. No, you're not. Your ass is going to rot in jail, you sorry sack.
And the other thing is, they've all been enabled by a lot of these jurisdictions who are allowing the people to block the bridges, block the airports. This is all enabling this behavior.
Yes, it is. And that is our unhinged moment of the day. Join us Thursday. We'll gather a bunch of liberal lunatics for you, and you'll get to vote on that. So much fun. There's so much material. It's really hard just narrowing it down to three, you know? Our Pockets of Patriots today, we'll give you the top five. How about Pasadena, Maryland? Again, logging in at number one. What?
Okay.
It's a big pocket of patriotism. So thanks, Pasadena. That's Anne Arundel County and a suburb of Baltimore. Baltimore's number two, New York, number three, Clover, South Carolina, clocks in at four, and Chicago, Illinois, where they were chanting death to America at a Teamsters union meeting over the weekend.
Goodness.
Is number five. Hang in there, Chicago. Bloody weekend, too. Got that communist mayor. Oh, it's just, it's really, really sad to watch a great city, and Chicago is a great city, to be mismanaged and run into the ground like that. So, keep that in mind, and don't forget to email us. Drop us a line at theseancaseyshow@gmail.com.
Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction.
And thanks again for joining us for this full episode. We've got another one planned for you this Thursday. Thanks to our executive producer, Michelle Double X Drusilla.
My pleasure. See you Thursday.
Associate producers Hunter and Logan Casey. And don't forget the Casey commentary. We'll be back this Saturday. Until then, remember to fight hard to stay free. America!